We're in lesson 8 today, and we're talking about how in the world do we please God. Look at our memory verse again, if you would, with me. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. As Christians, most of everything that we do in our lives, we tie to faith. That's the difference that separates us out. There are three ways to live. We'll look at it a little bit later on. We can live by faith, we can live by fact, or we can live by logic. And there's a lot of people who find it a little easier to live by fact, or they try to live by logic, and sometimes it's a little harder for us to truly live by faith. But the Bible says without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. Now, we look at the life of David in the Psalms, and I was looking some things up there this week, and over 89 times in the Psalms, it talks about faith and faithfulness. When you read through Solomon's writings, when you read through the book of Proverbs, it talks about a faithful man. The word is used, faith is used 336 times through the scripture. In the book of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28, the Bible talks about Jesus touching the eyes of those and giving them healing according to their faith. And we find it again in chapter 15 and verse 28. The Lord Jesus says to them, "Great is thy faith." If you move to the book of Mark chapter 10 and verse number 52, again, he's speaking to the blind, and it says, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Luke 17:5, another miracle that talks about faith. And here we find it ending up when the disciples say, "Lord, increase our faith." We're not where we need to be, and I think that's where all of us are today. Paul's writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 4. It talks about some shall depart from the faith. Paul talks about having fought the good fight. And he mentions in that, he says, "I have kept the faith." In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we're told that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7, Paul is about to die. His life is almost over. And he says to Timothy, "Keep the faith." Hebrews chapter 11, we all recognize that in the scripture as being the chapter that talks about the faith of different people. Now, today we're going to look at some things in scripture. I want you to find your place in Exodus. If it's not full out there, Exodus chapter 14, we're going to read a longer passage of scripture from Exodus chapter 14, and we'll begin in verse number 9 in just a moment. This is the story of Moses. And Moses is leading the children of Israel, and as he leads, he finds this out, he has to lead by faith. Now the story is, here the children of Israel are by the Red Sea. Moses reaches the end of himself. He is leading them. They hear and see the dust of the Egyptians coming after them to retrieve them again. They look to one side and there's mountains. They look behind them and there's the enemy. They look on this side, there's more mountains. They look in front of them, there's the Red Sea. Now, what do you do? And Moses told the children of Israel this. He said, "Stand still. Don't move. Stand still and see or know the Lord." Well, the Lord's desire for them was somewhat different. We find that in chapter 14 of Exodus, he tells them to do something different. So let's read several verses here, beginning verse number 9. "But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, his army, and overtook them and camped by the sea beside Philboth before Bethlehem. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid." You would be too. Faith or not faith, you're going to be fearful. "And the children of Israel cried out." Now you'd think they're in prayer, because something tremendous has just happened to them. I enjoyed that song this morning, ministered to my heart this morning. I remember the first time I ever heard that song and who sang the song. But it's awfully hard for us sometimes in the valleys and dark spots to live by faith. Now, Moses and the children of Israel had just seen something tremendous happen, and that was God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. And we're literally just days removed from that. And we find that they're paralyzed in fear and they cry out unto the Lord. And you think it's going to be a prayer, but it's not. It's a complaint. And they said unto Moses, because they were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us so to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? I told you so. We told you so is what they're saying. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. Now look down at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Look at verse 14. And the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Quit complaining, he says. Hold your peace. Just watch a little longer and see what God is going to do. Now, Moses is having to say that by faith. And now we finish that verse out. Wherefore criest thou unto me, the Lord says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, how in the world do you go forward? There's a body of water that is there. And we know the rest of the story that God told Moses to lift up his rod. And when he lifted up his rod, the waters of the Red Sea parted. And now they're going to walk through on dry ground. And they're walking through the Red Sea on dry ground. Had to be by faith. Years ago, we were coming through the Hampton Tunnel. And I don't like going through that tunnel anymore. We came through the tunnel. We got back into Richmond. And this has been, I was a kid when this happened, so it's been a day or two. We got back to Richmond and we heard there was a gas truck that had wrecked in the tunnel. And it had caught on fire in the tunnel. And it shut the highway down. So I'm going to tell you this. Your preacher goes through the Hampton Roads Tunnel by faith. Now, can you imagine with me this morning, very quickly, the children of Israel walking through on dry ground? This is better than Ripley's Aquarium. You're walking through on dry ground and the water is mounted up beside you. Can you reach into the water? I don't know. Those are all things we'd have to suppose. Did they see the fish and all the life of the sea swimming? I don't know. All I know is this. When you're walking through on dry ground and you're looking down and you're trying to explain how this happened, that's faith. And when you look into the waters beside you and you see them mount up over your head, and at any second you don't know what's going to happen, they are walking by faith. I understand our scripture memorization this morning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God's desire is that we step out in faith. Let's look together at number one, and it's this, the description of faith. There is a description of faith that is given to us. And with that, letter A, true faith has confidence. We're going to notice three things, confidence, change, and commitment. Faith is moving forward. Now, we were told that in the scripture. When Moses said, stop, stand still, see what the Lord's going to do. And then the Lord says, move forward. I don't know the exact second that the waters parted. I don't know if it was strictly when the rod was held up or was it when their feet, were they ankle deep? It'll be a little harder. It's a little bit more faith if your toes are wet. And you've been commanded, you just keep marching forward. And the uncertainties that are there. But true faith has confidence. Let's look at that confidence for a couple of moments. Full confidence that God can and God will. Now those are two separate words and two very important words regarding our faith. Faith that God can do something and faith that God will do something. A little later on, we'll cover a scripture in our book if we get to that point this morning. And it's talking again by faith, and it says this, everything has to be done in faith, and a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you can't have faith for one moment and not faith for another moment. It has to be some consistency with it in order to have the confidence that is there. Every one of you demonstrated this morning when you came here in this room, you have demonstrated full faith in something. I've told you this before. I'll not spend a lot of time here. But everyone that's in this room other than myself right now, you have fully, you right now are demonstrating full faith in the pew that you're sitting in. Every one of you are. Why do you do that? These are old pews. Most of us demonstrate our faith in them, most of us because we've sat in the same place forever. But we have a history with this. We've sat here before. The pews have served us before. They've borne our weight before. They're familiar to us. And so we don't come in here. I didn't see anybody come in here this morning and take your pew and make sure that it's firm. You came in and by faith. And when you live a life of faith, you can have confidence in God because of what He's done for you in the past, knowing that God can and God will. To live a life of faith or a faith life, we have to be confident in God. Notice this one, if you would, as well. Letter B, true faith requires change. Now, we don't like that word. There's a lot of discrepancies over that word having to do with change. It makes us somewhat uncomfortable. But here's the reality. Change is inevitable. It's inevitable. Some of you have known me for many years, and I have changed. And I have known some of you for many years, and you have changed. It's just a process of life. I looked up this week. I was watching a car auction on TV. And they were selling these cars. And I thought, I wonder what. And I looked up, I Googled out what a brand new 2018 Mustang cost. And the one that popped up and came up there was $43,500 and some dollars for the car. Now, I was watching this auction. It was old cars. And they had a 1969 GT Mustang just like the 2018 was. And it sold for $70,000 for a used car. For a car that's nearly as old as I am. Now, listen, what is my point here? Cars have changed since 1969. Drastically. I like the thought. If I ever had an old car, I would want a 1955 or 57 Chevrolet. But I'm not driving it every day. Because there's no power steering on the thing. And there's no power brakes on the thing. And there's a lot of things that aren't on there. Now, I'll get it out and drive it every now and then, but I don't want it every day. Things have changed. I'm thankful for those things that we now have. I want to point this out, though. Look at the value. And lest we think as we age, we lose usefulness or value, that which was a 1969, that car, brand new, sold for $5,000. Today, it sold for multiple times what its original cost was. There's value in some change. So we have to live our life by faith, and then we have to understand there's going to be change. God didn't save us to live the rest of our lives like we are right now. God saved us in order to change us. So we have to come to some conclusions that sometimes there are some changes that are going to come through life. God saved us for that reason. The third piece of this morning is true faith demands commitment. It demands commitment. Now, when we're looking at that, oftentimes Christians that have been saved a long time, and listen carefully, oftentimes Christians who have been saved a long time will lose their zeal of being a Christian. We become lackadaisical in our Christianity. I read behind not too long ago, I read the story behind a man who is a very well-known atheist magician. But here's what he did say. I have love and respect for the conversation that led up to this. I better tell you this. That led up to this had to do with people witnessing of their faith and of Christ to other people. And he said, there's one thing that I do have to admit about Christians that I have met. I have more respect for a committed Christian than I do an uncommitted Christian. And he went on to say this, because if I believed in my heart and mind that someone had died for me to better my life, it would demand of me that I tell somebody else about that. He said, I have more respect for a Christian who does tell me those things than for somebody who doesn't tell me those things, because it doesn't seem to be. And his concluding remark was this: I've seen a lot more uncommitted Christians than I have committed Christians. So when we're looking at that, the description of faith, true faith demands of us commitment. Now, I could ask you this morning what you're committed to. And there's all sorts of things that we could talk. There are folks that are committed to their job. There are those that are committed to fitness or committed to sports or committed to a possession or committed to a thing. All sorts of things that we can look at. So the question is, what are we committed to? Now look at your book, if you would. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That is commitment. Abraham demonstrated that commitment. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now, Luke chapter 14, and I've heard different people want to argue this verse out and say different things about it. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and his life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I'm not going to get any deeper into this verse this morning, but just to say this, it's not talking about a physical, literal hatred to those. It's talking about the priority in our lives. And I've said for years, you know, our families ought to be priority, but our family ought not be the priority. We be, first of all, committed to Christ. So our faith in description is going to demand of us, it's going to demand that we have commitment, that we have change. It's going to demand those things of us. And then notice, if you would, number two. Romer number two is this, a daily forecast. I have to live by new faith every day. Now, most of us this week, we have been watching the weather forecast. Some of us have been watching it a little bit more regularly, and you need to know what time of day things are going to change. It's my understanding from the forecast for today that we have a really hot day in store for us, and we have a sunny day in store for us, and somewhere about 6 or 6:30 this evening while we're in church services, that we may have a passing thunderstorm that moves through. Now, that was told to us about yesterday as well. And I don't know if you got rain where you were yesterday, but we didn't get any. The clouds were there and different things were there. Forecast change. Now, with this, a daily forecast, if it's impossible to please God without faith, then we have to exhibit faith every day. It has to be forecast. Now, some, like Brother Mantonia and his wife, God called them into missions. A degree of faith that I think excels much. For some, there's a move. Or for some, there may be a job change. Or for some, it may be marriage. And some steps of faith are huge. But some steps of faith are smaller. Some steps of faith, we say, aren't life-changing. But realize this, the small steps are life-changing. It's not just the things that we would consider, okay, I'm going to change my employment, I'm going to work for another company. That is a huge change for me. It's a change in location of the job. It's a change in, Brother Steve, changing jobs. This week would be sworn in as the chief of police for Newport News. That's a change of life. That's a big step. Steve's prayed about it. He's prepared for it. He's gotten ready for it. He's trained for it. He's ready to go. I'm moving to Newport News. He's ready for that. That is a huge change. It's a big step for him. But behind that big step, he has taken small steps. And we need to see that faith, as we're looking at a daily forecast, isn't just about making the right decision by faith when we take the big steps. It's the little steps that prepare. No child that I know of ever successfully ran before they took small steps. And a child will take, you know, you watch a child as that child begins to move. You watch somebody that's beginning to do therapy after a stroke or after some physical issue, and the steps are small. I know when Dad had surgery on his back, and he would get up, and the doctor said, you need to stand close to him. In fact, for a while, we had to take a thing and tie it around him and make sure that he wasn't going to go down. And I remember here he is, he's, you know, 60 years old, and his steps were like this. But those small steps become life-changing, because without those, he would have never been rehabilitated to the place of being able to walk in the big steps. And so the daily forecast. Now notice this, if you would, please. Every day, there must be a step of faith. Every day, there must be a step of faith in our Christian walk that brings us to maturity. One of the things about treadmills, and I don't know how many of you walk on a treadmill, but I noticed this today. You know, you walk on a treadmill, you don't see a lot of change around you, do you? Yeah, there's a treadmill in my office. At the house, you get on that treadmill, you see the same thing out the same window all the time. It must be an issue, because I saw an advertisement for a new treadmill that came on the market not too long ago. And there is some kind of computer monitor or a TV in front of you, and you set where you want to run. If you want to run in Hawaii, you just key that in. And in front of you on the screen, you're running through a road in Hawaii. Or if you want to be in Rome, or you want to be wherever you want to be, you put that in. Sometimes in life, there's not a lot of changing of scene as we move along, but every day must be a step of faith. Now, notice this letter B, if you would, with us this morning as well. Every day, there must be many opportunities. God gives us multiple opportunities every day to demonstrate our faith in Him. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, and I'm not going to ask you to admit to this, but let's just take a word and run with it for a second. Let's say in our life we have an issue with anger. And I know that nobody has that, so I chose that one. We have this issue with anger. You say, well, how does faith and anger? The Bible tells us, and we've studied it, that God will make a way for us to escape every temptation that comes our way. If the temptation or if the struggle of life happens to be anger, how then by faith every day do we overcome that? Well, God gives us advice on that. Sometimes God tells us to separate ourselves from that which makes us angry. And here's a difficult one. This takes a lot of faith. You remember when the Bible says, bless them that curse you? And it tells us what to do with those that despitefully use us, say evil things about you, say ignorant things. The Bible tells us exactly what to do with that. What is God doing? He is giving us instruction of how to make the small steps by faith, in that case, regarding the subject of anger. He gives us a way. God makes a way for us to respond. Do good to them that despitefully use you. That's the opportunity for us to move our faith into action. Now, God gives the victory, but we have to have the faith to claim it. God gives us a way out, but we have to have the faith that claims that. Now, notice, if you would, letter C this morning is this. Every day, there must be an attribute needed. An attribute. Every day of our lives, we and our human physical selves display a lot of different portions of us. We will call those emotions. Every day, the relationships that we have in our life demand of us that we display a different character attribute that we have. School teachers have different attributes that you expose. A pastor does. A teacher does. A parent does. And sometimes these different character changes, different things that you see. I'll illustrate it quick by saying this. When the first time with all of our grandkids now, that I had to step up as authority and say no to them. I'm telling you, Sunday school class, you wouldn't believe the look of shock. And I heard Lauren about a week and a half ago, she looked at Barrett and she told him no. Now, she had just been playing with him and loving on him and having a good time with him, and everything was going his way. And he did something that was dangerous, did something he shouldn't do. And she turned and looked at him and she got down like that and she went, no! It got his attention. Now, he didn't scream. He has some things that he does that are a little different. Sometimes he'll lay down on the floor and put his arm up like this, and he'll look around at you. But he stood there in total silence. And what did you say? How did you say that? The reality was he didn't do it again, though. God has different attributes. And every day to live by faith, not only do we have to show attributes or characters, we also have to see the character of God. Now let's look at our memory verse again, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me ask you this. What need do we have in our lives? Do we need patience? Do we need understanding? Do we need charity, which is love? Do we need wisdom? Remember, Solomon asked for that. Do we need healing? Do we need restoration? We have to ask ourselves, what is the need? And based on that need, look down at the book of James, chapter 1, and we'll read this verse through in chapter 1 and verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, how do you get that? Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Doesn't finish there. There's a lot of people say, okay, you ask the Lord of wisdom and he'll give it to you. Not necessarily. Because with that promise in verse number 5 is the hinge in verse number 6. Look at the first word. But let him ask in faith. Well, I prayed about this decision, but God didn't say anything. But were we praying in faith? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, the key phrase in that verse is, let him ask in faith. Look at James chapter 1 now in verse number 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, when you and I have an issue with not receiving an answer to a prayer, we better look at how we prayed it. Now, the Bible does have the promise. Verse 5 has the promise. If you ask wisdom, or if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God giveth to all men. But let him ask of faith. That hinges upon our own action. And then if we don't do that, if we don't ask in faith, it illustrates what we're like. But then he follows up and he says, the person who prays and he asks, but he doesn't exhibit the faith, he doesn't move in action with faith, then verse number 7, for let him not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. The Lord is not going to hear that. He's not going to answer that. Now, let's move to the next, if we may, please. And we're moving into number 2, a daily forecast. Was all right? We're on the daily forecast. All right, Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. Now, here is the faith. Notice where this faith comes from. Can your faith change my life? I saw Dave Kelly come in back there, sitting on the back row. Can our faith change his life? Yes, it can. 1 week ago today, we were asking earnest prayer for Dave. 2 weeks ago today, asking earnest prayer for Vicky. Now, notice what happened. This man's sick of the palsy. He can't do anything. He can't get there. And these men bring him to Christ. They go out of their way to get him to Christ. You know what we were doing for these people? And we've been doing this for Mrs. Madlinger's father. And we've been doing it for William Zinker. And now this morning we have Abby Rumbaugh on our prayer list. What we're doing is we are taking them to Christ. Now, let's finish up with this verse. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing whose faith? The man's faith? No, God saw their faith. Now, when we pray in faith, nothing wavering, God is able to answer that prayer. And the scripture says that God, seeing Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." This is not the salvation moment for him. Evidently, and we find this in other passages of Scripture, and I don't have time to chase it all the way through this morning, but here's the truth, the reality. Remember the man that God healed, and the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, were saying, "Who sinned?" And at that moment, it didn't make any difference. Well, this man, evidently, sometimes we have issues in our life because there is sin. And evidently, in searching the Scripture, this man, something in his life, some sin in his life, had brought him to the place that he was physically suffering. And these four men want to change that, and they come with their faith, if we can just get him to Jesus. And they demonstrate their faith becomes action. And the Lord Jesus says, and I see their faith, and he says to the man who is lame, he says to him, "Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, if we continue reading the verse, he says, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, their faith has moved them to bring him to Christ. Christ has said, "Your sins are forgiven you, that which has put you in this place." Now, this lame man over here, he is on his bed, and he is given something to do. "Take up thy bed and follow me." Now, he has to exhibit faith. So they did their part, Christ did his part, and now this man has to do his part. All of these are looking together for us at the forecast of our faith and what it daily must do for us. Number three, the diligent focus, if you would please. The diligent focus. And with that, there are three things, and I'm just going to list them off for you this morning. Letter A decision to live by faith must be made. You have to make that decision. Jim Elliot, a tremendous missionary, even though he was only there on the mission field for a short amount of time, his faith has changed Ecuador. Number two, or letter B, a desire to please him must be. We have to desire to please God. And letter C, a determination to hold on must be settled. A determination to hold on must be settled. What is faith? What is faith? The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It tells us it's the evidence of things not seen. So I ask you this morning as we leave from our Sunday school class this, what do you have faith in? I've already told you, you have exhibited faith this morning in the pew, and you sat down on it. And after a while, we'll finish up with church. And you're going to go out and get in your car, and you're going to stick the key in the ignition, and you're going to turn it, and you're going to do that by faith. I hope it starts. I hope it works. That's two inanimate objects. But how much more so? When the Bible speaks of a faithful God, should we not be able to and willing to put our full trust in him without testing him? Remember, I told you I didn't see anybody come, and I will from here out. Somebody will come in and they'll be shaking the pew in front of me. None of you came in, you shook the pew and checked the pew. You just, by what's happened before, said, "I'll give my faith to it." If God saved you for eternity by your faith, then how much more can he do in the earthly part of us when we exhibit our full trust and full hope and full faith in him? Let's stand together if we could, please. And choir, you make your way on back to rehearsal. We'll be back there, back in here in just a couple minutes. We're looking at Jesus becoming flesh, the I Am becoming flesh this morning. Let's be dismissed in prayer if we can this morning. Brother Chuck Huffman, would you pray for us?
Father, we thank you for, again, the privilege to be in your house and to hear the teaching of the Word of God.